Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, I have amazing news to share. You've heard me over the last several weeks talking about our small group Bible studies that we've been starting up. I'm here to tell you today that we have 36 participants signed up. Five of those are leaders, but 36 people that are in whole going to be participating in our Bible studies. At this point, we have so many people that if we have anybody else that wants to sign up, we're going to have another leader. So, just so you know. But it is indeed wonderful that God is working through our value of growing in faith. Remember, that's one of our values. And gathering us in community for the sake of our mutual care and for one another. This that I'm talking to the children about sharing our faith and encouraging one another in faith, doesn't end when we grow up. It really is something that continues on for all of us all through our lives. Thanks be to God. In fact, we've had so many people sign up that I had to order more books. Only when I went to place the order on the website told me that it would be 2 to 3 weeks before they get here. And that's even with spending a little bit more for faster shipping. I hate to have to wait. I guess I've gotten used to speedy delivery, even overnight privileged shipping. Waiting is hard. And it's not even Christmas. Well, it might be by the time my books get here. No, waiting is hard because it goes against this idea that each one of us is individually special. And the rest of the world works hard to reinforce that concept. You, yourself, is really the only thing that matters. Or at least matters the most. That's what we hear in our society. You should get the best treatment. The best seat in the house. The preferential outcome. And even when we do allow our sense of community to expand, to include others, it's often others like us that our bubble includes. People that look like us, think like us, believe like us. From high school cliques, to country club membership requirements, to nationalistic prejudices, we want to be the most important. And the most important should not have to wait for 2 to 3 weeks shipping. But if you've ever had to wait for test results, or the call from a family member letting you know that they're safe after the hurricane made landfall, or for the siren to sound the all clear letting you know that the bombing raid has passed, then you know the feeling of less importance, of smallness in the face of big dangers in our world, of insecurity that reminds us that at the end of the day, no one is immune from the trials and troubles that befall us all. Michael Collins was the third man on the Apollo mission to the moon, Apollo 11. He piloted the command module, while Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin became the first two people to walk on the surface of the moon. And while Armstrong's One Giant Leap for Mankind speech was burned into the lore of history, it may be easy to think that Collins' own accomplishments were insignificant. And indeed, while orbiting the moon, Collins was at certain times out of contact with literally all of humanity as the command module traveled around the backside of the moon. But yet, utterly cut off from everyone, Collins had this to say, if only in his personal record. He wrote, "I am alone now, truly alone, and absolutely isolated from any known life. I am it. If a count were taken, the score would be 3 billion plus 2 on the other side of the moon and 1 plus God knows what on this side." and as the lunar module prepared to reconnect with the command module. Before they broke orbit and began the journey home, Collins captured this picture. It's the Eagle that landed on the moon, getting ready to dock with that command module. It's been noted that Collins is the only person in the world not in that photo, at least at the time of capture. Just how important are we to others in our world? And who are we in relation to the God who created us? The prophet Habakkuk, thank you, utters a cry that many of us would think unspeakable when addressing the God of the universe. For even the most important of us still has a place reserved for the God who knows better than we. But Habakkuk challenges the notion that when he dares to cry out, "How long?" And like a scorned lover shouting at the wind, Habakkuk demands an answer from the God whom he can only assume has forgotten him, abandoned him, and left him to witness his own demise. Habakkuk even stands at something called the watchpost, like a child in the kitchen doorway demanding an answer to why a cookie is not allowed so close to the time of dinner. Habakkuk stands at his watchpost, just waiting to see what kind of answer God will give, if any. Childhood cookie conundrums notwithstanding, even for those of us in this world who would insist on the superiority of our primacy, this is bold behavior indeed. To demand an answer from God, the God who surely has many other troubles and trials to deal with, troubles arguably superior to ours. And yet Habakkuk dares to demand. To demand an answer, to demand a reckoning for the violence endured, a satisfaction of justice for which he waits. Sometimes I get a little devious streak in me too. Maybe it's not a big deal, but when I'm out hiking sometimes on trails in Glacier, Lone Pine, Jewel Basin, wherever it may be, sometimes I meet people on the trail going the other way, right? And sometimes they'll ask, "Well, how much further is it? How much further to the lake or the waterfall or whatever it is that marks the destination for this trail?" Now, I'm not proud of it, but if I'm in a devious kind of mood, sometimes I'm kind of tempted to say, "Oh, it's just up around the next bend. Just over the next hill." Even if the trail has a mile or more to go down the path. God's answer to Habakkuk is a bit devious like that too. God's solution is for Habakkuk to make a sign, like a poster board or a picket sign, and make it big enough for the runner to see, God says. You know, there's a whole science about how big the letters on a billboard or a business sign needs to be based on the speed of the traffic going by on the road. If the traffic speed is fast, you've got to have big letters on your sign because there's not going to be much time for the people driving by to be able to see that. But on slower city streets, the signs can be smaller. God tells Habakkuk, make the sign big enough for a runner to see it. Perhaps because God knows how busy people are and how fast they move around the community in their haste. And the message on the sign is this: don't worry, help is coming. It's just around the next bend, over the next hill. Now, I don't know about you, but I wonder if I was in Habakkuk's shoes, if I wouldn't have told God what to do with his sign. I mean, really, first of all, he doesn't answer Habakkuk directly, but tells him how to offer an answer to everyone else. But even the answer, this answer, is as devious as the one I'm tempted to give poor hikers on the trail. Just wait. Help is coming soon. For us who are prone to think we're the most important in our world, these kinds of answers don't sit very well. And it happens again between Jesus and the disciples. They come to Jesus with a request, a demand, actually. Increase our faith. It's actually just another way of demanding the same thing that Habakkuk did centuries before. Increase our faith means make it so that we're not so uncertain and anxious about everything in the world. Make us easier to get along with ourselves. Save us from our enemies. Save us from ourselves. And again, Jesus' response is about as ambiguous as it can be. A version of the mustard seed parable. If you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to the tree, be uprooted and thrown into the sea. Basically, Jesus means to say that faith isn't about quantity, it's about quality. And after that, Jesus recounts two little vignettes about the order of our world. Now, the references to slavery in this passage are offensive, as they should be to us in today's world. But Jesus reflects the world in which he lived. And what he's saying is, don't rock the boat. Don't try to make anything happen faster than it should, or in a way that you think is right, but messes up God's plan for your life. He says, be like the slave who doesn't have the ability to demand anything. In other words, wait your turn. So what does any of this have to say for us today? Well, I don't know exactly what the worlds of Habakkuk or even Jesus were really like. But it seems to me that the same issues of anxiety and uncertainty that existed then exist in our world too. Despite our piety, perhaps we too have moments when we cry out to God, how long? Or God, just give me a little bit more faith to make it through. And sometimes it seems that God's answers are long in coming, or cryptic and vague, or sometimes God is silent and we don't know why. If I had more time today, we'd look at the message written to Timothy in the second lesson where he's admonished, don't be ashamed. Do not think, his mentor writes, that because I am in prison, or that others, or even you, are persecuted for this message of the gospel that we proclaim. Do not think that God has abandoned you. Trust your faith. The faith of your mother, your grandmother, the faith that you've seen in me. One of the other versions of the mustard seed parable says that a little bit of faith can move not just a mulberry tree, but an entire mountain. And as I've said before, what good is faith that can move mountains if we don't, in fact, move mountains? Waiting is hard. It defies almost every other message that gets thrown at us in this world. Our egos say that we shouldn't have to wait. God says, don't worry, it's just around the next bend. You're almost there. Astronaut Michael Collins was on the far side of the moon, separated from everything he had ever known. And yet his hope was not diminished. In fact, he's spoken of his trust in his critical role on that mission, a mission that didn't let him walk on the surface of the moon with the other two, but demanded a crucial job from him. Nonetheless, even when it seems that we are in that kind of darkness. Forgotten even by God, or denied a place of honor and privilege in the world. Faith the size of a mustard seed will move the mulberry tree, or the mountain, or the moon, to give us the certainty, even in our busy world, that God's promises are true, that our cries are heard, and that our place of purpose in God's plan for our lives is real. And all the while, watch for the signs. God will make them big enough for us to read. Stay true to the work we are called to do, and always, always remember, as Habakkuk finally determines, that the righteous will live by their faith.